un culo.
Cosa?
Si attilla, papà Gianni.
Si attilla, ma che cavi corto.
Yeah.
E il cuore si intende.
Scusa.
Con tua fai caia, si spingiamo a casa. Va a più la volta.
Dai, va a più la volta la volta.
Duella, ma tu me montri. Oh, sa tu gi lo montri, eh? Mamka casa, cos'è?
Ti pigli da stare la comoda, ti ha già niente.
Ti pigli la nata che any apologies on your end?
Promessa c'è, receive apology from Utatu Kruger due to personal commitment. And then the minister is traveling to Namibia. And then that's probably cool reserving doctor's appointment, che. That's all from my church.
Yeah. Mamuka mamu nyamza makaje
Moloche
Njani
Njani wanjani
wanjani wangati umbamu pepecheka na mtani yonjani
ayako ndezu gaite imikusha njena indawo ingu uko chini
any apologies?
No, sir. Yeah, Zanelli is going to come up with the chest. Yeah, sir.
And course.
Course, sir.
Honorable members, allow me to take this opportunity to greet you all on this portfolio committee meeting of agriculture, land reform, and rural development. We want to take this opportunity to welcome you on this meeting of today, and also welcome the officials of the department as led by the DG, Dr. Ramasodi, and also our stakeholders and those friends of the committee that may have interest in these public hearings on the preservation and development of the agricultural land bill. We have been crisscrossing the country since the 20th of June, visiting all provinces, engaging in our oral public hearings. We had honorable members received written submissions through the advert that was put out by the portfolio committee, and having received those written submissions, we then embarked on public hearings right across the landscape of our country in the 9 provinces. We concluded that right here in the Western Cape, and that was able to proceed with the national public hearings that we had on Tuesday in a physical sitting that was in Parliament. Having been able to take into consideration all the submissions that were made, we have thus today invited the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development to present before the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development a briefing on the issues raised by the public through their oral submissions, as well as the written submissions from the various stakeholders regarding the Pedal Bill. I will now, honorable members, take the opportunity of inviting the officials of the department to lead us through their briefing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We are grateful.
Please lower your screen slightly. We are seeing your ceiling. Just lower it. Perfect. That's perfect.
Let me get the device just to uplift on the other side, Chair, so that I can be seen correctly. Thank you very much, Chair. We are very grateful as the Department of Agriculture Land Reform for the opportunity that has been afforded to the Department to respond to the input that have been made by sector stakeholders and other stakeholders who have taken time to submit both written and oral submissions to Parliament. I think in the recent years, over time, this is one of those contested legislative pieces, one of those bills that has led to a lot of comments that we have seen over the past few months. And we would like to also thank the Portfolio Committee for a very broad consultation on the bill. And we also acknowledge that the colleagues who have been together with the Portfolio Committee on this have also taken note and copious notes of what has transpired and even insight on other issues that have got to deal with service delivery from the department. With me today from the department, I have got my colleagues who are going to be making the presentation, and together we'll be able at the end of the presentation to respond to the issues that might be raised by the Portfolio Committee members. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, allow me to request that the presentation be made by Mary Diabusoka, who is the Director responsible for Land Use and Soil Management. Thank you.
Thank you, EG. Good morning, Chair, President of the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture Land Reform and Rural Development, members of the committee, and friends of the committee who joined the meeting, and all stakeholders present in this meeting, and all protocol observed, good morning. Indeed, we appreciate this opportunity that we can present the responses in relation to the submissions that have been received by the department. In the presentation, we are going to talk to a number of acronyms. Some of those include the CPA, which is the Community Property Association, CARA, which is the Conservation of Agricultural Resources Act, Act number 43 of 1983, DALS, which will be referring to the department, EPILRA, which is the Interim Protection of Informal Land Rights Act, Act number 31 of 1986, NEMA, which is the National Environmental Management Act, Act number 107 of 1998, PC, which we refer to the Portfolio Committee of Agriculture and Agricultural Development, and PDAF, which is the Preservation and Development of Agricultural Land Bill, PAA, which we are referring to Protected Agricultural Areas, and SOE, which is the State-Owned Entity, and SALA, which is the Subdivision of Agricultural Land Act. This presentation will focus on both of the responses that we have received during the public hearing and those which we have also received during the oral submission. And as you may be aware that on the 10th, we did receive 7 oral submissions, and also some of the members who presented the oral submission were also did present the written submission. And amongst other is the AgriSA, is the Institute of Race Relations, is the Agricultural Business Chamber, is the South African Agricultural Initiative, is the Minerals Council of South Africa, is the Black Agricultural Commodities Federation, as well as Inyanda National Land Movement and Rural Women Assembly. Those were the oral submissions that we received on that end. We also received written submissions in different days coming from some of those members which we cited, amongst others, is ESCO, which was on the 19th of May, and BioWatch, which was on the 21st of May, and the others also included Inclusive Development Association, which was on the 19th of May. Other submissions written included COSATU and Western Cape Government and the Western Natal Agricultural Union, Banula, and all those submissions have been highlighted in terms of the dates in which the submissions were received. So this reflects the overview of both the oral and the written submissions that we have attended to. And with the oral submissions that we have received, it also included some of those public hearings across the 9 provinces in which various stakeholders such as churches, representatives, land users, general farmers, generally public have raised. And we have grouped those into 5 themes because they were coming consistently. However, those were citing more or less similar issues. The first one, which was more of a common issue expressed across the oral public hearing in all provinces, it included access to land. So people always express need to have a land and so that they can take care or preserve after they have the ownership of that land. So we got number of submissions or inputs from the farmers where they were saying they are working on the land and they have been working on the land. However, they appreciate the bill, but they would like to have that access and title deed. And some of them is land claims which they have been staying in farms for over time, but such has not been concluded. Hence, they are asking for them to be given the title deed. Other thing which was also across the board, it was in relation to the introduction of agricultural subjects at school. Most of the land users and farmers expressed the need for young people to be involved at the early age in schools for them to be able to uptake the practices of agriculture. They did indeed value the agriculture as one of the economic sectors which is required to support the country in dealing with unemployment. Hence, they were saying if we have this introduction of young people at the early age, the aging farmers currently in the system will be supported by those young people as they grow up. Another area which they raised, it was also in relation to the concerns of implementation of government approved bills. They also expressed fear that even with this PDAL, based on previous experiences, there will be such a hiccup that the law is approved. However, there is no implementation. There were also a number of farmers who expressed concern in relation to over-regulation by generally government to say we are adding more regulation and we are not giving them more support. So they were feeling that we continuously add more burden of regulation by government departments. And there was also a common theme by most communities and farmers and land users around the support provided to them to continuously work the land. Some cited need for tools such as tractors, irrigation infrastructure, and generally the funding and support that is provided to them to continuously farm the land. So all this has been formulated on the basis of individual oral submissions that people were citing across the 9 provinces, and as we consolidated, we realized these are the common themes that are coming across the board. In relation to written submissions, this also includes the oral that has been made on the 10th of October. Generally, AgriSA supports the bill. And in supporting the bill, they also express that the bill is going to be critical for the affiliates and members to continue growing the agricultural sector, and therefore they were generally in support of the bill. And for all the comments that has been expressed, and there was no recommendation, the department noted such comments. However, where there was any comments which there was recommendation, the department responded either in terms of agreement or citing their view around the recommendation. For instance, also AgriSA cited the need for inclusion of agricultural land to all, and they had a number of definitions that they cited that amongst others included the land owner, that the currently defined land owner does not take into consideration those who are not currently having the title deeds to their properties. And therefore they propose that this should also include any rights recognized by this law of EPIL. And as the department, we noted this, and we also acknowledge that this definition can be expanded to include people whose rights are not registered in the deeds register. And there is also one of the comments that we received orally, I think it was when we were in Zanin, that some farmers did work on the land, cleared the area and farming, and afterwards they were evicted or taken out of such space. And we believe that indeed this comment is also valid. There was also a comment around a reference for food production, which was in relation to the proposal that this definition need to include commodities related to agricultural sector, which depends on agricultural land. And this comment was also noted and accepted. There was a clause around agricultural areas in which listed activities may be excluded from the agro-ecosystem authorization by a competent authority. So the view was that this needs to be limited to national and provincial protected agricultural area, and that the department also noted that clause 35 provides for determination of norms and standards for listing these activities. And therefore, the activities that can be listed will also include those that may not have the activities that can be excluded. It will be activities that they do not have permanent negative impact on agricultural potential. For instance, if you have an area where that area is in the middle of a wetland and you want to do a development, or in that middle, those are the activities that will be included. But if there are activities that are not going to harm the ecosystem negatively, such will be excluded. And there was also a concern around the compliance inspection, that the issue around search and seizure warrant should only be obtained if an appointment is not agreed upon and there is a reasonable suspicion. And that response is that such is also provided in clause 31. And even currently with all the compliances of legislation that are driven, that is catered for, that there is a proper engagement with the land user, that the land user is informed that there will be this type of inspection and such compliances and directives are issued accordingly. Clause 31 provides for access to a private dwelling without notice, subject to a search of warrant by the magistrate court or the high court. So there was also an expression around clause 33 that only deals with investigation and information gathering. And in that, the view was that it is proposed that the request of an appointment be required, and only if that is declined, may the official then request a search for warrant. And the same response is the one that we referred to previously, that even currently the normal inspection, you make arrangements. However, if there's those hiccups, then that you can then request for a search warrant. In relation to clause 36C, there was also expression around offences that they should not be regarded as offence if the land owner has been given a permit and then he does not comply to the directive that has been provided for. And we felt that that comment, it should be an offence, because the permit has set, or the directive has set, certain conditions that it requires to be adhered to. And if the follow-up inspection thereafter realized that the land user has contravened or has not implemented such measures, then that becomes an offense of such which has been guided to provide for the protection and preservation of land. And in that regard, we said we note, however, we do not accept this, because then it means that permit condition has not been complied for, and hence that such is the offence. There was also a concern around penalties in Section 37, 2A and B, which limits the court's discretion regarding penalties, and this could rather be inserted as administrative penalties. And we believe that courts are very useful in terms of enforcing the law, and therefore as well we believe that these comments are going to deny PDAF opportunity for courts to set court orders which are going to assist with the compliance of the legislation. That was in relation to R3SA. Then we had also the submission from Institution of Race and Relations. And the institute expressed their consent in relation to the bill, and generally they did not support the bill. There was also expression around clause 4 of the bill, which is that agricultural land should apply to land owners, and it should not do anything with the private land owners. And the department felt that the purpose of this bill is not necessarily to focus on land ownership. However, it is there to preserve agricultural land, and that will be across the board, those who are private and those who are not private. And therefore, the intention is to preserve agricultural land as defined for purposes of agricultural production, irrespective of the ownership. There was also expression around clause 5 that is going to give the minister unrestrained powers. And there was expression that land owners will not be consulted. And as the department response is that the consultation provided in the bill will include land owners. And the consultation within the MECs is in keeping with the constitution, which makes the functional area of agriculture to be concurrent. And therefore, the land owners will be consulted in every step, including the delineation of the protected agricultural areas. There was also a reflection around clause 11, 2A, which the view was that it appears to get ahead of the minister by referring to land capability ratings that include above moderate and classifying the land. And such protection is unclear and is not well defined. And from the department response, it was that the process which is followed for land capability, the criteria and evaluation, it's one of those areas that are internationally recognized and they follow a scientific framework, among others being the FAO framework for land evaluation and some of the bulletin size of these processes. However, as a country, we have adapted such to consider our own terrain, our climate and our soil circumstances. Hence, we have those levels and classification of land capability. And therefore, the degree of classification is based on land assessment outcomes, which indicate the potential of those land and they are rated. Generally, there was also a view around lack of consultation with landowner by the Institute of Race Relations. And as cited above as well, there will be consultation across any regulation or any development that is happening across the land with the landowner. And the compliance, and also there was concern around the compliance around agro-ecosystem authorization. That this will bring additional compliance requirements and need to be removed. And therefore, in this area, the department felt like even with the current SALA, there are compliance measures that need to be provided for things like forms need to be completed in certain manner to afford the department to make a decision. And therefore, that compliance is necessary and is not even new. And the difference is that the report must now be approved by a competent authority such that if there is any question around the integrity of the decision, then that can be dealt with accordingly. The Institute of Race Relations also raised a concern around compliance inspection that should be conducted by the law enforcement authorities and not just officials. And from the department, we felt that that clause is provided for in clause 31 for the appointment of these officials as inspectors. And therefore, the officials of the department will be best placed to conduct such legislation as they will be the administrators of the act. And therefore, they will be knowledgeable to enforce. And where there is law enforcement, authorities will be involved as appropriate, as cited in the clause 31, number 7. There was also concerns around the contravention of directives that are too broad and give competent authority powers to direct landowners who are not complying with the law to take action to cure the non-compliance. And this then included unreasonable instruction. And the department response is that this competent authority are agriculturalists and they will be guided by directives issued and therefore the broadness is not really there. There was also an expression around section 32.3A which provides that the notice for this directive may be delivered in various ways, only one of which is to deliver it in person. Even severe incursion into the property rights of owners that this directive may represent, it would be more appropriate for in-person documented delivery to be the only accepted method. And that response in that regard is that there are various methods of communication which are essential to ensure that directives are delivered. And some of them are registered posters documentation, which indeed are valid and a person can receive such documents without being or face-to-face and in-person. The other question was in relation to clause 26G, that there seems to be a reintroduction of the elevation of the bill around the sale of agricultural land to foreigners. And the department response in terms of that was that the bill is not addressing any areas around land ownership, but to address the issues around preservation and development of agricultural land bills. And where issues of genders have been raised, and it is solely for the purpose of reporting and generating data for future utilization and not necessarily to inform future decision making. That was it with some of the core issues from Institute of Race, and we then received some written submission and also oral from ASBIS. And from the agricultural business chamber, they generally supported the bill. However, they also requested the department to consider some of the definitions which will strengthen regulatory measures for the bill. And among others was the agricultural land, the definition of it, so that the exclusion of land which is has been excluded in terms of SALA by means of notice should perhaps be reconsidered. And the comments were noted and accepted to tighten the preservation and development of agricultural land across the country. Also, the definition of agricultural land has been amended currently to include all agricultural land and even those which are currently publicly owned and which was excluded. And the other definition which was highlighted was the high-value agricultural land, and the axis was obviously that norms and standards should be directly linked to this high-value agricultural land. And in agreement, we also indicated that such will be dealt with while we are dealing with the regulation. The cited the land owner definition, and I think this area as well, it was raised previously by AgriSA, and we noted that and agreed that that can be expanded to include people whose rights are not registered in terms of the deed register. There was also expression around land use, and the department noted this, and it was that the land use will be utilized as defined in terms of the act, and with that we believe that it will cater for the land use activities that are currently under agriculture and for agricultural purposes. Plus, they also expressed concerns around clause 11, which is in relation to declaration of protected agricultural area. And they suggested that this must be, there must be a link with listed activities and non-standard standards. And they also caution the over-regulation and complicating the regulatory system. And such was also referred to in clause 11. 1C of the bill as part of the department's responses. And we also dealt with, as part of that over-regulation, that each functional area has to be focused to the department appropriate. We also had expression around clause 21 in relation to establishment of committees. With reference to subclause 7A, the ASBI submitted that there is no reason to exclude foreign nationals who are bona fide and live and work in South Africa. And the department's response there was that the comment is noted, however, it is not accepted. I think our view there in terms of foreign national was that any information that is gathered in terms of price is not for the purpose of the bill, but it's for us just to have general information that can be utilized for future purposes. And there were also views that were raised by the Banking Association of South Africa, and generally they supported the bill, and they also sought guidance pertaining to land that may not fall in the agricultural area and how such land can be treated. And the comments were noted, and it was also agreeable that regulation in relation to land which are falling outside of the provisions of SALA currently will address those areas. They will be able to guide those who are working in such spaces. There was also comments in relation to a listing of activities and agricultural areas and consideration of applications by the competent authority, and including the right to appeal and compliance inspection. And as I said earlier, on some of these clauses, in clause 15 and 16 are noted and not accepted, because the competent authority has been is a knowledgeable person who is able to be able to address applications, and it is the department's view that those people will be the right people to be able to assist in that space. And that the listing of activities in terms of clause 16 will be compiled from time to time as the bill assigned such people to be able to conduct the inspection. There was also concern around the declaration of protected agricultural areas that will affect the rights of owners and third parties with regard to mortgage, and in case the owner opts for selling such property, that will create some challenge. And therefore, the department responding that is that the intent of the declaration is to manage and preserve potential agricultural land and has no reference to any sale or any financial implication of the land. And that, and therefore, this is not intended to address any selling of portions. It's just the utilization of such portions within the agriculture. There were views expressed by Impunzi Development Association, and they also did not support the bill, and they cited issues around traditional authorities who were in the bill is silent around this areas, and as the traditional authorities are the authorities which are giving out land, and especially around the communal areas and farming and grazing areas in communal spaces. And in terms of department response, it was that the definition of agricultural land currently includes state-owned and communal areas, and therefore those communal areas which are currently excluded from the SALA will also be part of the bill. And these areas will, however, be included under the bill and will address the concerns raised in relation to losing those grazing and farming areas. The Ngozi also, Ngozi Development Association also cited concerns around mushrooming of mines in Limpopo and how will this bill address such. And from the response of the department is that currently mining activities are exempted. However, moving forward, PDALP will also include those areas which are being mined, and there will be consideration on impact of such activities on how then the grazing areas and the mining can coexist. And there was also a request around how, what is the linkages of this PDALP and the policy itself, and the policy disinformed the bill. Nkunzi also raised in relation to Chapter 4 of institutional framework, they raised the views and they suggested that committees should look like in the public-private governance structure with commercial farmers and technical experts running the show, and therefore there is no need for this bill based on the bill is continuously strengthening the current disparities of land ownership in the country. And the department's view was that the role of the committee is to advise the minister, and therefore the bill is not focusing on ownership, it's focusing on preservation. However, that public-private partnership is possible within the role that is played by this committee on advising the minister on what is possible and what can take the process of preserving and developing agriculture to better places as a department. The Ngozi Development Association also raised a number of issues which are among others is the bill appears to be written by commercial agriculture for commercial agriculture and does not contain any efforts at productivity redistribution of assets or resources or any form of social redress for past injustice. And as we cited previously, that some of those were noted. However, the bill is going to take into consideration communal areas and communal space, which currently the current cell is not able to address. The other written report were from the ESCOM, and ESCOM indicated that the calls for exclusion of statutory body as per SALA, and further highlighted areas of essential services as motivation for this exclusion, and advocated for consultation and provision of timelines for this any measure that the department is providing, so that there is clarity of timeline, so that there is no delayed decision making. And the comments from ESCOM were noted and not accepted that a statutory body should still be excluded. And the department felt that statutory body should apply in terms of the bill for guidance and to prevent a loss of agricultural land, which currently is happening. And also that there is provision for gazetting and consultation in the bill to enable coexistence and compatible activities when declaring protected agricultural areas. There was also areas raised by ESCOM in relation to section 27.3 to section 32. And all those areas, I think they were motivating for timelines, and therefore the department also noted such, and the timelines and other related procedural processes will be addressed in terms of regulation. There was also input around amendment of the Subdivision of Agricultural Land Repeal Act under transitional arrangements. And therefore, the department response in this area was that new application will be addressed under the PDAP when enacted. However, anything else prior that, it will be dealt with as is in the provision of current FALA. Other responses included the South African Agricultural Initiative Fund, and SAI also expressed pre-existing legislation, which is dedicated to preservation of certain types of land and the regulation of sustainable practices. And they cited SUMFA and NEMA, and also expressed concerns around duplication of regulatory mechanisms, and that without amending or repealing the aforesaid legislation, there will be clashes, confusion, and contradictions. And the response of the department is that this bill specifically focuses on preservation and development of agricultural land, and will be applied with, in conjunction with other legislation, inclusive of SPLUMA and NEMA. SAI also raised an issue around the evaluation and classification of land in accordance with the provision, with the agricultural potential of land and any other criteria of use for farmers and developers. And as already said that previously in the other response, that the department noted this and also said that the activities has already been completed. Currently, when we are evaluating the land, we already having data that we are saying in this area, this is high value, and we monitor the loss of such. So the land has already currently been classified. The file also indicated a concern in respect of the proposed invasion of property rights, and also that the bill presently stands can only be used to address issues of employment, issues of unemployment, poverty transformation, by radically prescribing to landowners what can and cannot be done. And in this instance, I think the department looked and did not accept such input because the bill focuses specifically on preservation and development of agricultural land. It does not have any object of or to intervene in daily farming activities of the farmer. And therefore, there is no reference between the bill, and it's only based on speculation that the minister is going to prescribe such to land users. So any activity that the land user will be dealing with in farming, it will be his own discretion. There was also input from Mineral Council of South Africa, and in that regard, the express the role played by mining in South Africa in relation to the economy, and also cited that the bill reflects a conflict between use of land for agriculture and for mining purposes. And the department responded in this regard, it was that the contribution of mining in the country is acknowledged. And however, in the same vein, we have to also look into the long-term food security of the country. And therefore, in dealing with such decision, a holistic planning is crucial to ensure that both coexist and there is mutual respect in terms of acknowledging the balance that is required and ensure that both are catered for without compromising each other. The Mineral Council of South Africa also cited the views around the economics, and they also indicated how each other outweighs the benefits from agriculture and the contribution of mining and when you are operating in the same portion of land. And the statement cited was noted and not accepted because not all activities are measured in that way. There could be the importance of agriculture that in the long run the social cost or the unintended cost of losing other natural resources such as water and others may not be affected if you are only looking into that space. But if you look into the impact of that activity into other sectors, agriculture also has its own contribution indirectly. There was also a view around Mineral Council of South Africa again that the bill should contain exemptions for agro-ecosystem authorization, and the department response was that the exemption of any mining activity is not really accepted because currently we are losing more agricultural land and has been the mining has been exempted. And therefore, the value of agro-ecosystem authorization is to look into the negative impact and weigh and be able to have a balanced decision-making without favoring each other. And therefore, it is important in this regard to evaluate the impact of any mining-related activity on agricultural land in order to determine the suitability thereof on how best such possible conflicts of land use can be mitigated. And there was also expression around coal resources that are located largely or mainly high potential cropping land, hence mining was asking for exclusion. And therefore, in that regard, the department response was that in view of environmental legislation, transformation from coal fire energy generation needs to be converted to green energy. And in adhering to this call, the implementation of renewable energy in relation to mining as far as a less significant negative on agricultural resources and coal mining will be some of those alternatives that need to be considered. And there was expression around the definition of agricultural land, as well as the that all not all land in the country is currently subjected to zoning, and many mining operations are lawfully conducted on areas which have not been zoned for a specific purpose, and therefore it was recommended that such be inserted in the law. and the comment were noted, however, were not accepted as it will not be within the objectives of the bill. And decision taken under SALA will remain valid as per SALA specification, especially in those areas that many operations has were initiated. Only those applications that comes after the DALP has been enacted will be taken through authorization as per PDALP once enacted. There were expressions from COSATU, and COSATU also supported the bill, and they felt that the bill needs to be urgently passed, and the department noted that and accepted that based on the current records that we're having for loss of agricultural land in the country. There were also views expressed by the Geological Society of South Africa, and they supported the bill. However, they also cited some of the other sectors such as mining, that is a concern to them. And the comment was noted, and in excluding the mining, the department as cited earlier on, it was not supported in that regard to exempt mining activities. There was also Melissa who raised his concern around the definition of agriculture as a science, and the department's view in that area was that agriculture is a science subject, and hence some of those land capability, and we look into the soil and climatic data, which is a science on its own, and is informed by those capabilities of the soils and climate for the conducive environment for agriculture to thrive. We received comments from Western Cape government as well, and those comments were largely around the important role played by the agricultural sector, and also they listed some of the areas which they believe the bill did not take care of, like climate change. And the department response in that was that if you consider the agro-ecosystem delineation and sector plan, all those areas of climate change will be considered as it is within the principles of the bill. And those are applicable to all agro-ecosystems. The Western Cape government also suggested that throughout the bill, the term land use planning legislation be used as a generic term, which may define to include SPLUMA and any provincial planning, special planning and land use management act, as well as some zoning schemes. So the comments were noted and not accepted because land use that has been defined is in terms of the application of this bill, and therefore the comments were not necessarily accepted. Even the definitions that have been listed, they're in terms of applied in agricultural land defined spaces. So it's not in any other spaces or in the residential areas. Western Cape government also provided comments in relation to Clause 4, 1B, Roman Fisher 3, around the development framework. And that this framework are not defined, and in future they may lead to different interpretations. And the department response in that was that the phrase development framework within the context of Clause 4.1b, Roman Figure 3, relates to the principle of agricultural productivity. So the focus there is the production of that land and the potential of that area. And such will be part of the SDFs and the IDP. The province, the Western Cape government also raised expressed concerns around Clause 15.5 in relation to the provision of compliance with procedures laid by the minister. And that does not absolve a person from complying with any other statutory requirements to obtain authorization from any other state. and it was recommended that this provision be amended. And the provisions were noted and accepted. I think for any legislation when we are implementing, we take also cognizance that other legislation may have their decision which may not necessarily be in line with what you are, because they are not competent authority in the space that you are making decision on. And other expression was from Agri Northwest, and Agri Northwest cited that there are various food policies and legislation in the country. Unfortunately, they also cited those challenges of effective implementation and monitoring. They also cited that the annual report should be submitted to the Agri Northwest indicating enforcement interventions per province. And that response in that area was that most of the comments that were being recited in the submissions were more in relation to the Conservation of Agricultural Resources Act implementation and not necessarily to PDAG. However, we take the point that it is important and vital for food security. And once the law has been signed, there will be various mechanisms cited in the bill to report on the progress of the implementation of the bill. And that will also assist in mobilizing Agri Northwest as other relevant stakeholders to support and mobilize for resources for implementation. There was also input from Inyanda National Land Movement and Rural Movement Assembly of South Africa. And in terms of the submission was that they believe that the task fails to mention what system of agricultural production will be promoted. And in that regard, the department further they note the view expressed and also cited that the department subscribes to sustainable production system, as we are also affiliated to the UN and others, and such system is not prescriptive, but it considers the economic, the social, and the environment aspects. There was also input again in relation to the overall entire regulatory framework that it should be simplified to align with the district agricultural potential maps and IDPs, and that it should legislatively empower protection against mining settlement and environmental abuse such as overgrazing, deforestation, damage of wetlands. And in terms of the bill, law 7A1A, Roman Sutra 2 provides the purpose of provincial agricultural sector plans, which among others promotes consistently in the exercise of functions that may affect the agricultural land. And that takes as well to alignment with the IDPs and other sector plans. There was also concern raised by KwaZulu-Natal Agriculture Union around the two areas of protection of agricultural land, that they feel that this is not clearly dealt with, specifically the applicability of the bill to communal and state lands. And in this regard, the department indicated that the bill does include all categories of land, both state and communal, and that the definition of agricultural land bill will include all farmers, all land which is agriculture. There was also a view in relation to the provincial agriculture sector plan as outlined, that it appeared to follow a top-down approach and are in conflict with existing legislation which follows that governance is a ground-up function with clearly defined roles given to local and district municipalities and to provincial. And the response from the department was that in this regard, the concurrent function between national and provincial is such that the competence of agriculture as well as the Schedule 4 of the Constitution was considered. And we also supported that area. And the PDAG is a framework legislation where implementation will be at the municipal sphere. However, the framework legislation will be guided by national as the national competency. There was also an input from the KwaZulu-Natal Agricultural Union in relation to Clause 31, which outlines a number of unreasonable expectations in terms of powers and access of an inspection officer. And this expectation and permission has serious, decided that this has serious concern around rights of privacy as well as potential unintended consequences relating to rural crime and biosecurity protocols. And this clause, the department response was in relation to clause 31A, which stipulates that inspection should be conducted with a right of dignity, freedom, security and privacy. And that includes making necessary arrangements for officer to be in the farm and to be able to communicate the intent of the inspection, whether it's data capturing or data evaluation or soil survey or soil survey. There was also concern around the overall clause 6 to 9 in its entirety that is written in a manner which implies a standalone type of commercial agriculture sector plan, and there's minimal reference made in terms of SLUMA, the IDPs and commodity groups or private businesses. And the department decided that clause 8 is broad enough to include any relevant legislation and prescripts, and therefore it will be more in as an agricultural plan aligned to other plans of governance. There was also a comment in relation to specifying protected agricultural area that the bill should take the criteria applied in clause 11 to and apply the protection to all agricultural land of that category, not only name and define the agricultural land. And therefore the department responding that result was that the bill provides for nationally applied methodology of delineating high value agricultural land. And this is a framework that is going to guide everyone in terms of delineation. So it's a frame that is assisting all the provinces. And also that there is an area around the application of exclusion and inclusion of protected area. And the department cited that this area has been covered in relation to Clause 31E, which states the procedure for categorization of land, but it will also be part of our regulation. There was views around Clause 31.3A, that it is not acceptable that an inspector is granted access to enter any agricultural land at any reasonable time without a previous notice to the purpose of ascertaining an issue required to ensure compliance. And the department in this regard was also saying that Clause 31.6 provides for access to a private dwelling without notice, subject to a search of warrants by the magistrate court or the high court. So it's certain circumstances that will dictate whether the inspector will have to go with a warrant or if there is identification of non-compliance to collect evidence timely, such also was part of our departmental response consideration, that the circumstance would dictate the required support either by the sub-officials or just by quickly capturing the evidence which is there. There was input from the Black Agricultural Community Federation, and in terms of their view, it was that the objectives need to be aligned to those of the United Nations Debates on Ecosystem Restoration program from 2019 to 2030. And the department response in this area was that the bill focuses on agricultural production within the context of agro-ecosystem approach, and we believe that this United Nations Decade on Ecosystem Restoration will complement part of this agro-ecosystem approach, and therefore there is alignment in those areas. There was a view around the BACF that the Federation proposes the addition in Clause 6.1 of the bill to include preserve, protect and expand land for the cultivation of indigenous agricultural commodities. This was in light of certain herbal plants or foods which are in respect of the diverse cultures appearing across the country. And the department responded this area was that the bill does not prescribe any farming commodity. So as long as it's suitable and capable of that area to be produced, it will. It is not the department to dictate to the land users or farmers in that regard. There was also expression around that the bill should amend clause 7 to include, promote and give effect to the principle of equity by amplifying the voice of the previously disadvantaged users of agricultural land, and to read as enable the minister to monitor achievements in the implementation of policy procedures and processes aimed at the preservation and development of agricultural land. And department response in this regard was that consultation is an integral part of the implementation of the bill, and that clause 23 provides for performance assessment framework. So there will be a review and checking of how far implementation is in relation to the implementation of the act, and that will include those plans and procedures developed. There was also a view around a provincial agriculture sector plan that it must include the description of the level of degree of participation to be enjoyed by previously disadvantaged farmers in the agricultural opportunities and plant intervention impacted in the agricultural area and in the interest of adhering to the principle of equity. And the department response in this area was that clause 61F provides for compilation of agricultural sector plan in a participatory manner where all interest groups will be heard and it will be taken into consideration. There was also a submission by BioWatch South Africa, and BioWatch supported the bill. Overall, general intention, the preamble of the bill was also supported by BioWatch. And he cited that the bill should not solely focus and frame from the perspective of sustainable large-scale commercial farmers, even though they support the bill. And the department's response in this area was that the bill is to be applicable to all other types of land, and therefore it's not going to be commercial, but it's also the other farmers, and therefore currently does not make any distinction between commercial, small, communal, but it's intended to apply to all. BioWatch also provided the views around the intent of the bill to prevent fragmentation of agricultural land and emphasis on economically viable farming units, and that could be read as obstructing the agrarian transformation instead of entrenching the commercial industry agriculture approach and its inherent ecological and social impact in the country, prohibiting subdivision of agricultural land, which is for them is a great concern. And from the department side, it was that this statement is an assumption which may be incorrect, and that the department intent is to preserve all agricultural land irrespective of the size within the prescript of the bill. So any agricultural land, as long as it's viable, it can be utilized for agriculture. And BioWatch also cited missing principles, that the business should be a principle that supports decision making to solve conflict, to resolve conflict between competing interests. And they cited definition of agriculture and also the need to include the production of biofuels and fibers. And the department response in that is that the assumption made in the statement is also incorrect. The intent is not to, the intent of the bill is to preserve all agricultural land, and therefore we don't think this, we don't specify which agricultural, but we support any agricultural irrespective of size. And there was also a view that decision making should also reflect the impact of this non-food production forms of agriculture on other critical resources such as water, soil, and will be seen as the extractive industries. And they reflected some of the principles in relation to more transformative approach and equitable access to land. And from the department side, it was that the same is intended. Department view this bill as preserving all agricultural land, irrespective of the size of. And the focus is also that activities that are going to have an impact on the agro ecosystem will be considered. And therefore, if there's too much, there's impact of activity that is going to deplete the water cost from flowing, such will be part of the consideration in the agro ecosystem authorization. Bawash cited some of the areas around protected agricultural areas, irrigated agricultural land, and also when citing section 11.2a, which provides condition under the minister to declare a national protected agricultural area. And their concern was that irrigated agricultural land, does this mean that all agricultural land will be declared? And should this condition be qualified? And does it include government and private irrigation schemes? And their concern was more of the abuse of people who can then want their area to be declared as protected agricultural area. And the department response in this area was that the comment is noted and not accepted, because irrigation on agricultural land is not the only determining factor to declare an area as a protected agricultural area. There are other considerations of soils, there are other considerations of climate, which in that space are taken into consideration. There was also input in relation to the section that is dealing with procedures for the minister or agency to declare this protected agricultural area, and that in this regard the public are not only afforded the opportunity to participate in objecting to declaration of protected agricultural area. And they propose that there should be a procedure outlined for making requests or petition or to have areas of agricultural land declared that include their unique heritage spaces. And the comment was noted and not accepted. The reasoning was that the power to declare a protected agricultural area will remain the minister or MSC's responsibility. And therefore, the identification of this area to be declared is not prescribed. Is the requests that are going to be made and be considered and upon consultation declare such areas. I think that was the last comment from our side, and just want to indicate that most of the comments, they were repetitive, and in their repetitiveness, we would then consolidate and compress them, that these are the concerns around maybe definition of agricultural land or consultation with the landowner. And if it comes repetitively, then we'll just pick up those areas. And our recommendation, therefore, is for the portfolio committee to consider the draft responses in relation to the oral and written submission that is the department has provided for. Thank you.
Thank you, Mamu Busoka. DJ, Dr. Ramasodi, back to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. Just a few areas that we'd like to touch base on in terms of just a summary of the concessions that we would like to make and how we will address them if the committee so agrees to the proposal. To that effect, if the committee agrees and the chair agrees, we will request Mayor Makaila from our legal services just to give those highlights. It will be just highlights in terms of where we have made those concessions. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members of the committee. Just to firstly say, Chair, that we have submitted a comprehensive word document where all these responses have been covered. And now the concessions that we have made as we were considering the comments, Chair, the first one was around the issue of the definition of land owner. The criticism rightfully was that the way we have structured the definition, we excluded people who are not registered, whose rights are not registered in terms of the duty office. And so we say, as the committee goes into deliberations on the bill and the goes through it clause by clause, this is one of those concessions that we would really want to make, so that we expand the definition to include those people whose rights are not necessarily registered at the duty office in terms of the Duty Registries Act. Then the second concession, Chair, was the in one of the stakeholders commented that with the clause relating to the establishment of committees, specifically clause 21, and in clause 21, subsection 7, sub-clause 7, sub-clause G, we should insert an additional disqualification. So clause 21.7 speaks to instances where a person will not qualify to become a member of the committee. They have recommended that we include a disqualification in terms of people who have been disqualified from serving as directors in terms of the Companies Act. So that is another consideration we are making, Chair. And then the third one, which has reverberated across all the comments, was in terms of clause 31.3, where we are making provision for an inspector to access a property without giving prior notice. We concede that after considering all the concerns that have been raised, particularly around issues of safety and the situations that we have obtaining on our funds currently, the department concedes that we might have to reconsider allowing for notice, but without necessarily taking away from or compromising the initial intention, which is that we want to be able to, in instances where there's contraventions, we want to be able to come in before attempts are made to try and cover up for the contraventions. So that is, I think that is the last one where we have made a concession. And we will, in the meantime, draft a recommendation to be included to cater for the ability to be able to give notice without compromising the original intention of the clause. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Gigi. Those are the two concessions that we have made.
We submit, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you to the officials of the department, honorable members. There's the presentation by Mayor Busoka, as well as the input from Mayor Mahlayela and the DG of the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, Dr. Ramasoli. We'll now open the session for questions of clarity and input or comment. Honorable Kape.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to you and my colleagues and the department team that has just presented. Chair, let me acknowledge and really appreciate the presentation. My input, Chair, is that as for me, I feel very grateful. This is one of the bills that we really had an intensive engagement and interest from organized agriculture, from other interested stakeholders. And I think, Chair, the deliberations for Tuesday, oral submissions that were made, even though that has been received, the written submission, notwithstanding the public participation that was conducted, has really shown the interest and the need to preserve and protect what we remain always as agricultural land. I would also agree, Chair, with the submissions and responses that the department has just made, especially the two from AgriSA on definition of land owners. And as for those who are trouble offences, I'm not too much worried about. And I would say, out of these many slides that the department has presented, they've done their best. And I would share, without any doubt, agree with the responses that they have made, where they have accepted, where they have explained. It does make a lot of sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Tape. Honorable Ntate Masipa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues, and good morning to our colleagues from the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. Chair, really, I welcome the presentation by our colleagues. First of all, I think I just want to start with the regard to land care resources, because in the department we also have got a land care area, which really is not as regulated as, you know, the state is going to do. But it talks about, you know, the land care management through the promotion of sustainable use practices, and which also involve local people taking local action in their local area to achieve sustainable land use and management thereof. So, Chair, I thought that must maybe, you know, be clarified in terms of how those resources, you know, are going to be used in the application of this particular bill. The other area, Chair, that I think is very important to just also, you know, rehearse it again, because I'm struggling to really get how the department is reasoning the agricultural land versus the private land owners, you know. I know that the comments made by ACBIS and by others with regards to this, that isn't this now, you know, intruding into the private land owners' rights. And in one of the slides in the response, the department talks about all agricultural land and publicly owned land in some of the responses that they are talking about. But here, I don't think that the issue of private land ownership is being addressed, because I think it is definitely a concern. I'm happy that the issue of this that they will willy-nilly, you know, go onto the farm and do whatever the department or the authorities need to do has been considered, which I really support. There that it should be configured, and in our deliberation I think we can also, you know, consider reweighting that properly. The time limit for this competence authority, and Chair, you will remember that I wrote a note to you with regards to when ACBIS made their submission to say they worried about the time frame. In the bill, there is no really indication around the time frames that provide, you know, for the application as such, you know, where, you know, NEMA really stipulates that they have got time frames that is given for the particular purposes. So I think the important is that maybe, you know, the competent authority that is there should not really be delaying, you know, their assessment or whatever, you know, to provide for less uncertainty, you know, for that owner, you know, because as you know that, you know, the delays can also, you know, create problems in agriculture, especially, you know, as you know, that is time-bound in terms of its execution. So, Chair, those are my responses, but I do believe that some of them we can really refine and engage properly in our deliberation of loss by loss and the bill itself, you know, with our legal teams. But I think the input from the department is welcome, and also the concessions that were made is welcome. But if I can just get clarity around, you know, this private landowners and, you know, just the certainty there, you know, for the private land use. Because, you know, one of the areas that it says record for future purpose. What is this future purpose? You know, and maybe, you know, also there you must just, if the colleagues can just help us, you know, future purpose. It's not written, but I captured when the presenter was making a presentation about, you know, record for future purposes. And the private owners, you know, are also feeling that, you know, what is this future purpose? They want to know. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Dr. Masipa. The Honorable Treasurer. Mamu Treasurer. Sibalku. The Honorable Baud Lamini.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to you, the leadership of the department, and good morning to the MPs. I want to start by acknowledging the fact that the report that has been given by the department indeed does reflect in many ways what was appearing in the public hearing and even the concerns that were being raised by others. The report does take care of that. I can only say that the matter will be with the implementation ultimately after all the processes would have been taken through, and when we have an end. So I would want to encourage the department and ourselves as members of parliament to take this process in a very, very critical way. As Dr. Tlape was saying, I really accept the report that we have received now. Thanks very much, Chair.
The Honorable Dameli, thank you. The Honorable Dr. Mundwedi.
Madume modula stilo leva tsenela kopano botlhe. Chair, when Melidia started with the presentation, she gave a consolidation of the views as were solicited from all the public hearings. And she categorized them into five. I was only able to capture four of those categories, which one being access to land, delay in finalizing land claims, and agriculture introduced as a subject in school, and lack of machinery. I want to find out from the department so that we draw lessons from these, so that if needs be next time, if we have to approach it differently, let it be. I want to find out from the department that at least according to me, I am of the view that the categorization of the consolidated views do not speak to the bill itself. I want to know from the department if is this view correct, that they do not speak to the bills directly? But secondly, Chair, is that this remain matters that reside with the Department of Agriculture, especially with the access to land, the four that I have mentioned. One would just want to know from the department that they would not just, you know, let them fall away because they do not speak to the bill. They still speak to the objectives of the department. So I want to know from the department, what plans have they put in place to ensure that they actually get to deal with these issues as raised, because they remain serious thorny issues where people would have serious issues with the department with regards to those four issues that I have mentioned. So my concern, Chair, was with regards to the input that we made from our various public hearings. Now, the input from stakeholders, I did listen to them, but I just wanted to raise that, Chair, but welcome the report as presented by the department. That is the only thing that I would want to raise, Chair, as an advice going forward, so that we know if maybe we had the right audience or people were thoroughly prepared, or we rushed through the process where it did not yield intended outcomes when the public oral submissions were concluded.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you,
Honorable
Ntatemontweri, the Honorable Baokapa.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to you, Chair, and to all our colleagues and the department. Just briefly, Chair, let me say I thank and appreciate the presentation from the department. And I want to emphasize my appreciation on their ability to guide the situation where people would like to have input which have nothing to do with the protection and development of agricultural land. You remember when we were dealing with the other sections of the communities, it would be easy and possible to tolerate their expressions of other views not related to the protection of the land. But now these ones, they are organized, they are professionals, they know what it is about. And therefore it would be deliberate for them to bring in things that have nothing to do with the protection and development of agricultural land. To me, that was very important. It was useful. And then also, I'd like now the some clarity also on this part now of the ability to manage those who absolutely oppose the bill, given the fact that it seems maybe that they don't understand that actually the bill is designed to control and manage their activities that are having a negative impact on the agricultural land. And just now my little clarity is the usage of the term high-value agricultural land and prime agricultural land, whether these two terms are interchangeable or when is anyone used in relation to this land that I talk about. I thank you, Chair. Otherwise, I'm happy about the presentation.
And of course, the Honorable Baokapa, the Honorable Mamun Papama.
My apologies, Chair. Let me recognize our colleagues and everybody, all protocol observed. I am satisfied with the comments from our colleagues, especially in Gatenugu. I am covered, Chair, so I won't be having any comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mamun Papama. Honorable Bao, no, the Honorable Akware Briet.
Hallo voorzitter.
Hoe gaan dit vandaag?
Goed en self, voorzitter.
Baie goed, man.
Nee. Chairperson, I'm covered. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Akware Briet. Any other honorable member on the platform that I've not recognized who may wish to pose a question? Honorable Chairperson, are you with us? If not, honorable members, I will pose one or two questions on my side and then look to the department for any responses on their side. On my side, I'd like to ascertain if the department recognizes that the definition of ownership should be extended to the rights recognized in terms of IPILRA. We can, honorable members, agree that most of IPILRA rights are on land under administration by institutions of traditional leaders. My concern is that the department and the state law advisor said it was not necessary to officially refer the bill to the National House of Traditional Leaders. Isn't this, honorable members, going to affect the constitutionality of the legislation, especially if they express concerns about taking decisions about land they administer without their input? We already have a challenge around Spluma, which has not been resolved. And therefore, I'd like to ascertain if this will not be contested by traditional leaders as we proceed further. I will now hand over to the DG and the officials of the department for responses. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and to all the honorable members for the inputs that have been made. I would like to request that we address the issues in this way. We'll first call on Mayor Matayala for her inputs, especially from a legislative point of view, including what the Chair has asked around the brand recognition thereof and the possible negative impact it might have in terms of the traditional leadership. And then we'll go to the technical issues. Any other issue that would be omitted, I will deal with at the end of the input by Mayor Lydia Busso. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. With respect to the comment by the Chair that not referring the bill to the National House of Traditional Leaders might pose issues, because of particularly where IPILRA is concerned, any decision that is going to be made, either in the declaration of an area as a protected agricultural area, either provincial or national, will be done in consultation with anybody and everybody consulted. The gazetting will invite comments, and one of the comments that we received, in fact, was that publishing it in two, because the bill provides for publishing in a newspaper, two newspapers nationally circulating, and also in the area. We agreed in the department that we're going to open it up to even go as far as making notices on radios in the areas where we're coming in. So in that way, land under traditional leadership will also be subject to that type of consultation. So We believe that in as far as that is concerned, the required consultation that she is talking about will be catered for. I will limit myself on this one and leave the more technical issues to Mayor Bosoha. If there's anything that she leaves out, I will come back. I hope the answer that I've given suffices. Thanks, DG.
As you come back, please, there was a question that came from Honorable Masipa, who was referring
to an element around legislation where we have got to see whether, as in terms of our intervention as a department, we would not be overarching into other legislative pieces, just as a matter of engagement. Member Sofa?
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair and members, for the opportunity to respond to the areas identified. Starting with the first concern or area around the alignment of the program with the land care. Land care will indirectly as well contribute to this bill in terms of implementation on the ground, because land care program is a program that is implemented in a concurrent function with the provinces. And also the program addresses the objectives of the Conservation of Agricultural Resources Act, CARA, which part of the area talks to maintaining the production potential of land. So with that, we see the alignment of the production, of the maintenance of the production potential of land with minimal resources that are given to the provinces to implement. And as part of this bill, PDAL, ensuring that those identified high potential areas to be utilized and maintained productively. And in that, then we will be able to promote the land care program and also promote activities that are aligned to the bill. Among other things, the agro ecosystem approach, where you look into where is those areas and you are then facilitating resources to implement some of the felt care, soil care focus areas. The other area was in relation to land that is publicly owned and land that is privately owned. Currently, SALA is applicable to all private lands. So the inclusion of state land and communal land and private land, communal and state land is taken care of within the bill, but we will continuously implement PDAL and taking from SALA all privately land owned. Currently we are receiving applications from private people to subdivide their properties, which the consent have been issued after consideration as guided. And the continuation of private land owned will be within PDAL and taking forth as well other areas of state which were not there previously. There was also an area around acknowledgement of the time limit to be offered to the competent authority so that it doesn't delay implementation of agricultural activities. We note that, and we believe this is part as well of the regulation in line with, I think it's section 12, it's provided for in the bill, that is section 35, Roman figure 1 and Roman figure I and L. In that area, I think we believe that there could be regulations that are addressing the time frames. As is currently with the SALA, there are provisions where the appeals are supposed to be made if there is wrong application or if there is wrong decision or the applicant feels like the decision was not, the applicant feels aggrieved. So if he feels aggrieved, there are timelines that they are given for the applicant to apply to the department, for the department to reconsider such decision. So we believe that the same process we are going to carry forth, that there will be timelines in the regulation to say a decision can be made within 30 days for the activity to be able to be given a permit or be
declined, and that will take into consideration necessary adjudication and assessment that needs to go on the branch. And there was also a mention that we keep on saying there is information that can be utilized for future purposes. Currently, we observed that most of the women out there, they are being involved with agricultural activities. That was just an initial assessment when we're going across the board. And we feel that if we capture certain data, it can as well assist us moving forward to know which sectors and which categories are indeed there, and then guide our programs to support and assist those who are involved and they are not being taken care of. And we believe with our agricultural sector plans, such information, if it comes up that we can see in this area, there are more of older people who are there as part of the agenda and that is being listed, then we can try to come up with interventions that are going to encourage or promote so that we can be able to assist in terms of preserving land, but also looking at other avenues of supporting the process. And that we related to that collection of data, whether it's a male, it's a gender, or that will be some of those that we can institute in the forms that we are collecting information generally. And we see this in broader context, not to say we are going to enforce, but to assist us in understanding what is happening on the ground and support farmers generally. We acknowledge some other areas which have been raised around the broader categories of issues that still reside within the department, and that what is our lessons drawn from this. I think generally the public consultation across the province gave us an opportunity to understand how better to serve our clients, which are the land users in different groupings. And to some larger extent, there have been some of those whom internally as the department, when we are engaging with the provinces, we speak to these issues to say, in this area, as we were engaging in, for instance, in Limpopo, we got the sense that there are farmers who are doing practicing maybe conservation agriculture in that space, which can be promoted, and you can use this as part of the look and learn lesson. So generally we draw that, but generally speaking, most of the people, when they saw the name of the bill, it is our view that they just believe they are going to get into the details of Section 25, which was not the case. And we picked up that in most, there is support required and is land required, and maybe the name of the bill could have been the factor that people felt they were going for allocation of land, and or the department being there, then they can be able to address some of those outstanding claims that have been there. And some we just find the any land user was using an opportunity to raise whatever matter that he's having that he didn't have any platform to deal with. And with that, I think what we believe in the future, which is very challenging, is support that they are asking, that which other avenues can we use to support based on the available limited resources. And understandably, the agriculture sector plan is going to guide every support that the department is going to give with the limited resources that we are having. But outside that, we can also find other ways of look and learn, farmers communicating to others, trying other avenues that people can be linked to be able to get the resolution of the how they can work their land better to take the mandate forward without necessarily us giving finance on those. So the lessons we draw, I think generally, is how better to support them in different avenues. There were other areas that raised around
around the ability to manage those who oppose. I think continuously we have to generate the report that we are having to say these are the number of applications that we have dealt with, and this is the impact. This is the land that we have given away in terms of allowing coexistence, and this is the area that we can be able to not agree to. And we believe with the real hard data, it will share evidence that anybody else can understand the implication towards the overall society, and not necessarily from one eye that agriculture is protecting without allowing coexistence. In that, we believe that then there will be understanding of informing and sharing information about what is happening in our cultural resources and how are we utilizing them optimally for everyone else. There was a request around whether we are utilizing the high-value unique agricultural land with the prime. I think there are provisions in the bill that have been provided for to indicate how we are going with the agro-ecosystem, and which clarify that the unique agricultural land is the one that you consider other specific enterprise that could be based on the climatic condition in that space. I'll give an example of Western Cape, where you find even though the soils are not necessarily good, but the climatic condition makes certain areas to be unique for viable vineyards, and therefore it's a specific commodity that is suitable on the basis of the uniqueness of that area, and therefore aligning to that enterprise. The other example could be the rooibos, which is happening as well, that there is a certain conducive environment that makes it unique, and for that we will also try to protect as part of the declaration to say those areas which are capable and they are having higher levels and significant level of producing such enterprises then are covered as we need, and therefore that can also be utilized interchangeably as inserted as part of the protected agricultural area to consider those areas in declaring them in section 11 part of the bill. The other comments, I think it was what actions are put in place to address issues that were not in line in the bill. I think in that we have tried to address those to say we are engaging on a concurrent function at our natural resource management working group with the province to pick certain sites and be able to say this is possible, it can be dealt with even if the bill is still in process to address the needs of the farmers. I think in those were part of the inputs that we can be able to provide, and from our side as the team as well, we appreciate the support that has been given in this regard. Thank you, DG.
Thank you very much, Mayor Soha. Honourable Chair, let me thank the Honourable Committee members for their input. Honourable Sate for supporting, Honourable Dlamini for supporting, and I would like to Honourable Kapa for supporting. Let me just indicate that all the inputs are highly appreciated from the Honourable Member. There are a few issues that I would like to maybe address. Firstly, Honourable Masipa talks about the possible infringements on the private rights or the rights of the landowners, especially the private landowners, especially when you look at the bill and how it's phrased to indicate that you it's applicable to agricultural land and publicly owned land. Maybe that's where the issue has got to be settled. Firstly, when we refer to agricultural land, the current subdivision of agricultural land already regulates some of the functions that happen on agricultural land. And this land happens to be private. And at this moment, in terms of SALA, there's an exclusion of publicly owned land. And this is actually having an impact because some of this land that has been lost, if you look at the input that was done by Nguzi, is already indicating that your land, some of the high value land, is in publicly owned land, and therefore we need to come up with an intervention to address this. And therefore, the answer that we can have to Honorable Masipa is that already, in terms of agricultural land, if there has got to be a change in terms of land use, there's an application already, and the very same application would then be translocated to the new PDAL so that it can be dealt with from that level as a privately owned land, but still addressing agricultural concerns and the loss of high value agricultural land. The second element that he had asked was around how do we address the issues similar to NEMA in terms of the time frame, and I think that he refers to Section 15 of NEMA. But what is important in terms of NEMA is that it applies to environmental implementation plans and environmental management plans, which is a subject of a broader context of acts that have got to be done. My thinking is that the response that we got in terms of the response from Mercosur, this would be dealt with from our side in terms of regulations, because you'll have to deal with each and every response on its own merit, and our regulations will then clearly reflect on the areas that we need to do. At any rate, the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act already covers the issues around how administration should be meted when it comes to the issues of various legislation in the ambit of government. The essence, I think, Honorable Montwedi, when you reflect on the inputs that we got from various stakeholders, what we have in the department, and I see where you are going with the indication, whether there would be a very good cost-benefit analysis. But from our side, the way that we value the inputs and coming from the colleagues is that we would then coagulate any other non-related issues that were raised in this public hearing as part and parcel of service delivery concerns in the department and ensure that we deal with those. It might be an unintended consequence in terms of the consultations, but it's still a value add to government in terms of the way that we do our work. Now, to Honorable Kapa, the response that we had from Mebosoha to say that we use the words interchangeably, I think what we will do from our side, which will deal with the issue around ambiguity, because using words interchangeably might lead to people not understanding the same, is that we may, in terms of the definition, define high value to include any other relevance to that word, so that within the context we are consistent in our text, we are consistent in our writing of what we are referring to, instead of using two words interchangeably, because consistency is very important in legal scribing. Honorable Kapa, you are correct. Now, that would conclude from my side the issues that I have noted coming through from the colleagues and how the department would like to reflect on these issues, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Ramasodi, DG of the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, for the responses and the officials of the department. Honorable members, any follow-up questions on the responses? I see the hand of Dr. Masipa.
Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity. Chair, the reason for the follow-up really relates to maybe the question around the time frame. So Clause 15 of agro-ecosystem authorization talks about the competent authority to deal with the application. That's where really I'm referring that question to. And maybe just for clarity purposes. The second part, Chair, is really an afterthought. I realize that with the legal input from the department, obviously the inclusion of the land in the communal land, and obviously to your input around the SLUMA challenges with the traditional leaders. So now what this implies is that we might have to either stop the bill and refer to public engagements with the traditional leaders, or we refer back the bill to the department to consult with the traditional leaders in this regard, because I think we came thus far with the understanding that the traditional leaders or the communal land is excluded from this particular bill. So that's my input, Chair, that I just thought I need to make going forward. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Dema Sipa. Honorable members, any other follow-up questions? If no other follow-up question, perhaps I can just re-emphasize that my input was a real concern, which is centered around consultation that was done now in the lawmaking stages. That's what I wanted to ascertain, and therefore wanted to know in terms of traditional leaders if they had been engaged with. Thank you.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. I would refer to Mebo Soha for both inputs. And I will base in terms of what the Chair has just indicated. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you once more for the opportunity. I think with the clause that has been cited, clause 15 in relation to the timelines, indeed we believe that timelines can be provided for different categories of applications. To say maybe it is a change of land use, because of the nature of assessment, this is how long it can be provided. And if it is subdivision, this is how long it can take, in which both then it will differ in terms of availability of, in terms of coordination of response required to make such decision. And that can be provided for in the regulation as earlier alluded to. I must say from the department side, in relation to consultation, we did had some of the meetings with some of the tribal authorities from our consultation, and one of them was the Ingwenyama Trust in KZN, and with that, I think also when we were moving forward with the state law advisor, it was in relation to the process of implementation, that in the implementation, call to PDALP is more of assessing the land, providing information to assist in decision making. So even in this regard, our application and understanding of this area is that we are not going to take any power from the others to make decisions. What is important is that a departmental official has to go and assess and take that information and provide to the relevant authority. If I'll give an example in this regard, it will be The official is assessing the felt that is in the communal area to say what are the grasses in this area, and he's taking that information as an extension or as an agricultural list, providing it to the tribal authority to say this is the value, this is the livestock value of your area. And therefore, decision of whether the tribal authority is allocating that area for stand for people to settle, or it will be informed by the support and guidance that has been provided, but we are not taking that decision. So our understanding in that is that the department is just managing the concurrent function between national and province to ensure that there is proper support to ensure that agricultural land is developed. Hence the other part of, we are not only preventing or providing fragmentation as with the current seller, we are trying to show that that land which we believe is high value and should be developed in the agricultural benefit and growing the agricultural sector, and ensuring that the sector is allocating reasonable resources to support community to benefit out of the agriculture. Thank you, DG, and thank you, Gage.
Honorable Chair, let me give over to Member Sayela on your issue that the Honorable Chair, Chief Mandela, had raised around the consultation with the National House of Traditional and Khoisan Leaders regarding publicly owned land and the classification and consultation on that matter from a legal point of view. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Didi. Well, we said we agree with the view of the Office of Legislative Advice and the DNS, but this bill specifically, the requirement to go to the National House of Traditional Leaders from a drafting point of view, from a legislative drafting process point of view, is that you go in where your bill contains provisions which have an impact upon customary law or upon customary traditional communities. We truly believe that we are not going in to affect issues of ownership. The intention, if a particular area under a traditional leadership has protect what could be classified as high value agricultural land, and therefore the area will potentially be classified as a protected agricultural area, the steps will be followed to consult with each and every one. So the process of consulting in terms of the bill, I think in as far as the pronouncements and the declarations on protected agricultural area, consultation will happen and will happen sufficiently. But the need to consult with the House, as far as the bill is concerned, submitting it, we agree with the statement by the Office of the Justice Grant by the DG. I mean, the rest of the decision will be with the committee. Thank you, Jenny.
Honorable Chair and honorable members, I think there is a cat ball that has been thrown in terms of interpretation and what it means, especially when we have got to refer to agricultural land and currently publicly owned land. It would then mean that some land within the publicly owned land is not defined as agriculture and would need to be defined as agriculture. But at this moment, if the chair allows, because we don't want to delay the engagement of this committee, if the committee can allow us just time to have an engagement as a department on the matter, and then relay our views back to the chair, as indicated by Member Sayela. But I also hear where the chair is going in terms of the engagement and what the interpretation would be. But it would be a futile exercise for us to engage on this matter with the committee. We would like to be afforded the time just to ventilate as the department have also a legal view, another legal view, because we all already had one. But I don't think that the points that the chair had raised were canvassed during that time. So if we can just be afforded that time, and we will revert to the committee early next week if the committee agrees to that. based on the comments coming from the Honourable Chair and Honourable Masipa, which are really confounding the issues that we are having. Thank you.
Thank you, DJ, and Member Sahel, on your responses, and I think we will engage with the Secretariat to see as to if any further input is needed from the department. We may engage further. If not, we'll probably request for a written submission on those issues so that we can be able to move on with our plans accordingly in concluding this preservation and development of agricultural land bill, as we would want to bring it before the National Assembly and table our report of the work that we have done thus far. Honourable members, any other matter on this bill you would want to raise as we conclude the session? If not, honourable members, we want to thank you for having availed yourself for this session on the engagements with the department and their responses to the oral submissions and written submissions that we have had on the PIDAL bill. This brings us to our end of our session, as this was the only item for us to engage with today. I want to take this opportunity, therefore, to thank the DG and the officials of the department who have come before the committee and to engage on the matters regarding the PIDAL bill. I'd like to thank also our stakeholders and interested parties that have come onto the meeting to be with us. Allow me to thank the staff of the Portfolio Committee who continuously are the backbone of this committee and ensure that we are able to have these meetings in an adequate manner. Honourable members, thank you for your robust engagement and for having been able to participate and be in this meeting. I want to wish you a great weekend ahead. Spend it with your loved ones and get some time to rest. For those that are still activists at heart, we have campaigns right throughout South Africa, in Cape Town, in Durban, in Johannesburg, in Tshwane, as South Africans rise to be adding their voices to in support to the Palestinian cause. I therefore invite those that are in Cape Town at 2 o'clock to be with us in the CBD as we pledge our support to the Palestinian resistance. I thank you. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, colleagues. Have a good